Hey everyone, this is Lauren.
And this is Anastasia.
You're listening to Wait to Pod.
Wait to Podcast.
Wait to, podcast. Wait to mean, Panic.
It has been Wait to Podcast.
You're listening to Wait to Panic, a podcast where two friends take turns trying to scare one another shitless. And this week it's Anastasia's turn.
Woo!
I want to leave that.
Yeah, no, that's a solid reintro.
We're doing great. It's only been, what, 8 months?
No. It's been like six.
6 months? Is that all? Okay.
Because it was pre me breaking my collarbone.
That's right.
So, hey, lay down. Sorry, I'm yelling at my dog. I'm not just yelling at Lauren, I promise.
This is I must lay down to properly project for a podcast.
This is our first in-person recording that we've done, and... Yeah.
And there's a puppy here.
There is a puppy.
He's a good boy that likes to lick things.
He does. And bark. But we're not going to do that right now, are we?
We no. hope.
No. So, yeah.
Unless you're happy.
My happy. I dyed my hair. I didn't dye my hair. I paid someone to dye my hair.
Yay!
Yeah.
I know that I have. Oh, I just had my 2-year anniversary at work. That's one of my happies, and I'm going and hanging out with my sister tonight to do face masks and paint our toenails and watch Harry Potter.
Nice.
It's gonna be good stuff. Yeah, those are my happies. Those are pretty concise happies, I gotta say.
They were really short and to the point. I like it.
We took a break. We don't waffle as much.
Right? Not yet. There's still time.
What are we talking about?
We are talking about the survivors of Richard Speck.
Oh dear.
Have you ever heard of him?
The name sounds familiar, which doesn't bode well.
It doesn't. So this goes hand in hand with me asking, do you lock your doors at night?
Oh good. The answer is yes all the time, and I make sure there's a bar in every single window, because I'm paranoid, and my mother trained me to hide behind couches if a stranger came to the door, so.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. That's... Mine didn't really give me a plan. It was just make sure all the doors are locked, so you're better than I am.
Oh, we also threw in the addition of a baseball bat.
Oh, okay. That's always smart. But listeners, if you don't lock your doors, you really should. Mostly because of a guy named Richard Speck. This week, we are gonna jump right into it. Okay. And originally, I was going to do, like, a People Who Survived a Serial Killer miniseries. I don't know if I'm gonna do that, but... This was one of my stories for it, and I don't know, the more I research, the more depressing it kind of gets.
Oh no!
So, we'll see how long it stays. I might just ditch it after this one and start with something funny and spooky.
Yeah, we gotta maintain mental health.
Yeah, don't got a lot of that right now. But, in the meantime, I've got the double tale of Corazon Amaro, as well as Luisa Silverio, and her brush with death. More death than usual, I should say. Ooh. She was a nurse. This case is one that is described as, quote, ending the age of innocence, end quote, in the United States.
Well, good.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are actually quite unaware of this case, which, hand in the air, I was as well. This is one of the first random mass murders in the 20th century here in the United States, and it became the reason why many began locking their doors at night. So, with that in mind, are you ready?
I mean, I'm still mentally processing the fact that at some point people didn't lock their doors, but, you know, other than that, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, well, more trusting times, I guess. So, Wednesday morning of July 14th, 1966, Corazon crawled out. These are both females, by the way.
Okay.
Corazon crawled out from beneath the bed where she had hidden herself overnight. And her first words were, "Oh my God, they're all dead." Starting off strong. So she lived on 2319 East 100th Street in Jeffrey Manor, which was a residential area of Chicago's South Side. She was a Filipina exchange nurse with the South Chicago Community Hospital and lived in a 2-story townhouse with 7 other nurses from the same hospital. And with the exception of Corazon, they were all dead. Luisa did not live with them, and she managed to escape unscathed from Richard Speck without ever knowing that she was in danger.
Okay.
So, we're going to start Tuesday, July 13th. So, Luisa and a friend who lived in a house spent that afternoon doing their nails, chatting about how work was going, how they missed their family, you know, standard friend chit-chat. Yeah. Towards the end of the evening, Louisa remembered a lucky detail. She has some letters that she needs to write. She went home to get them, planned on going back to the sleepover after writing them, and while she was at home, she got a call from the hospital that was asking her to sub the next day for another coworker. That normally would have been her day off, obviously, but she accepted and went to go write her letters. Afterwards, she goes back to the townhouse to tell her friend, Corazon, that she had to work in the morning and wouldn't be able to stay over. But this time, what she didn't know was the killer was already inside.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. So Louisa, she rings the front doorbell and waits and waits and waits. She goes to try the back door, rings the doorbell, still no answer. So she goes back to the front bell, gives it one last chance, still no one answers. Strange, she thinks, but eventually does end up leaving.
Louisa, seven nurses in a house, eight nurses in a house, and yep. No one's answering?
Yep. Well, Louisa. I mean, in her defense, it was fairly late. So while she's ringing doorbells front and back, the killer is inside, and he's contemplating answering the door. So eventually, he does decide to answer, but by the time he reached the front door, Louisa had already circled around to the back and was ringing the bell.
Gotcha.
Annoyed, the killer went back upstairs where he'd already cornered the nurses. So, Louisa really had lady luck watching over her.
Alpine.
He's gotta clean. He's gotta clean the armpits.
I took a shower. I promise I'm clean.
So, yeah, Louisa, she really lucked out, and she goes home unscathed, none the wiser about what was going to happen or what was already happening. Upstairs, the others... Alpine, you're panting so hard.
The huffs. It's what we're doing today. Yep. It'll be great.
It's all good. So, upstairs, the others were not so lucky. So around 11 p.m., again, later at night, shortly before Louisa returned from writing her letters, 24-year-old Richard Speck, heavily intoxicated, broke into a house on East 100th through a window. He made his way upstairs where the bedrooms were and threatened the nurses that were present with a .22-caliber pistol and a hunting knife.
Just a delightful human being. You know, drunk people with weapons. That seems like a great plan. Gee, I wonder what country would still allow that.
So, funny enough, I didn't recognize... I don't think I did this on purpose, but it is kind of funny. My sentence was, an ex-con from Killinois. But he was an ex-con from Illinois. And he spent a fairly horrible childhood basically avoiding being beaten by his drunken stepfather. So, great upbringing for him.
Yay, trauma. Oh, bless you. Trauma survivors. Trauma. Yay?
Yeah.
You went the wrong direction, bucko.
This is the 60s.
You could have exited Killinois.
Well, he did.
He did it the wrong way.
I don't know geography.
No, Chicago is in Illinois. It is.
I'm sorry, listeners. I did not do well in geography.
You're a writer, not a cartographer. It's fine.
Nope. Nope. Did not pass that portion of schooling well. Anywho. So, he breaks into the house, threatens these nurses. He tells them he just needs money. He's not going to hurt them. He just needs money to get to New Orleans.
I feel like that's an excuse used by many murderers.
Uh-huh. Not going to hurt you. Not gonna hurt you.
Definitely not.
So the first room that he entered in was shared between Corazon and her roommate, and he orders them into the adjoining bedroom where the other four nurses were. Then he herded them into the third bedroom. Naively, they did not think that he would hurt them because he said he wouldn't. Yeah, he hurt them. Corazon remembered, the American girls told us we more or less had to trust him, that maybe if we were calm and quiet, he would be too. He was talking to all of us, and he seemed calm enough, so we took that as maybe a good sign.
No, American girls, you fucked up.
It was not a good sign.
You fucked up hard.
Yeah, it really wasn't. So he starts out by ripping up the bed sheets. He tears strips from it and binds the nurse's wrists. And I don't know at what point you go, maybe this dude is actually going to hurt us, but I probably would have had a red flag before now, but...
There's been a few red flags.
That definitely should have been one, but,
again, we can count them up. Red flag one.
Breaking in.
A person has entered the home without permission.
Mm-hmm.
Red flag two. He is drunk and has weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Red flag three. I only want money, so all of you women get into one room.
Yeah.
Red flag four. Mm. Bindings.
Bindings. So for the next 5 hours, he proceeded to systematically stab, torture, and strangle all of the nurses, with the exception of Corazon, and raped at least one of them.
Mm.
And one by one, he walks them out of the bedroom. In his rampage, he failed to notice one nurse crawl under one of the bunk beds and hide, which was Corazon. She hid and waited, and while she waited, which I don't know how you stay sane through this, but I guess kudos to her, while she waited, she heard the cries of her friends in the other room. She said she remembered that none of the girls screamed, which is an interesting detail to remember to me. So she heard them crying, but they didn't scream.
That's really weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really weird. Like, how... What the fuck?
I have my suspicions as the details go on, but we'll see.
Okay.
So, when it was all said and done, keep in mind, Corazon, she's only 23.
Oh my god, she is baby.
Still a baby. Hours afterwards, and Speck has already long since fled. She finds Suzanne Ferris, 21, dead in the hallway by the upstairs bedroom with stab wounds to her chest and chin. Suzanne and Gloria Jean Davey and Marianne Jordan had been unfortunate enough to have come home in the middle of Speck's spree and had been killed. So,
oh god, so the ones that were missing? Gotcha.
Three more women were killed. So Patricia Matusik, Marianne Jordan, and Pamela Wolkening were in the eastern bedroom. Patricia and Pamela had been strangled and stabbed. Marianne was sprawled on the bed and had been stabbed in the neck, chest, and left eye.
That's deeply specific.
Mm-hmm.
That screams of my dad did something to that region.
Yep. Next, she finds Nika Schmali, Valentina Passion, and Maralta Gargiulo? Gargiulo?
What's it look like? Gargiulo? I want to put an I in there. Gargiulo. Gulio.
I'm pretty sure it's a Y sound.
Yeah. Gargiulo. I still want an I.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But she found all of them in the west bedroom. All three women had been gagged, which explains no screaming.
That does. Yep.
Strangled, which also explains it, and stabbed. And Merlita's throat was slashed. Downstairs, Gloria was naked on the couch, strangled.
Aww.
So a lot of reasons why there wasn't a whole lot of screaming.
And this was, like, he pulled each one of them out of the bedroom one at a time. I am so glad that we prepare women better for bad situations now.
Which is fucked up in its own way, but yes.
Oh, yeah, the fact that we have to is horrifying.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm glad we do.
Yeah.
Because, again, there were so many things that I can recognize could have been done in this situation
right.
that they would never have known.
Yeah, hindsight.
That they could have
hindsight
done.
Is really 20/20, and I hate those numbers now.
I mean, hindsight really is 20/20. Things we could have done if someone had done something pre-2020.
Yeah.
Anyhow. 2 years later. Well, yeah,
about 2 years.
About 2 years.
Almost.
Yep.
So, Gloria, she was the only one that Corazon didn't find. After the first seven that she found, basically she...
so much.
I know. He wants the love and the pets.
Just a happy boy. Okay.
But, yeah, after finding the first seven was about where Corazon's last bit of sanity really just went out the window. And literally, she climbs out the second story window and just starts screaming.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
she survived. I got really worried for a second there. Yeah. Like, really worried.
Remember, she survives.
I had forgotten.
So, yeah, she climbs out the window and just starts screaming and screaming and screaming until a neighbor wakes up and calls the police. So, the only description that she could give the police was a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
She never saw his face. She only heard his voice and saw the tattoo.
Was his face covered?
You know, I'm not sure. I did not find that detail.
I feel like it's gotta be.
I feel like it must have been.
If she didn't remember his face.
Yeah. Which would make sense. I mean, yeah. You break in for money and...
you know, ski mask stereotype.
Yeah. I'm sure ski masks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Must have been.
They've been a thing for a really long... I don't know the exact origins, but I guarantee skiing's been around so long, ski masks must have been a thing for really... I mean, it's the balaclava.
Yeah. That or...
The ugliest head condom. That's very effective at what it's used for.
It is, but, yep, not attractive.
If I wanted to look like one of the thumb people from Spy Kids, that's how you do it.
Yep. So, yeah, being able to have the voice recognized and a tattoo was enough, actually, for them to...
Yes!
Yeah, identify. So for the next 2 days, Chicago basically was in the grip of a mass panic. There was a massive manhunt that took place. People were rightfully horrified. They had never had a massacre in their memory where a stranger had so violently just killed a group of young women for really no apparent reason. I mean, he did not take anything other than lives.
I mean, yeah, he I just want money.
Ugh.
Bullshit.
So he was what we have now become far too familiar with, which is a random mass murderer. Welcome to the U.S. So after 2 days, a man was brought to Cook County Hospital from a cheap hotel after a failed suicide attempt.
Who could it be?
I don't know. Could it be Richard Speck? It was Richard Speck. So he was identified by a drifter known as Claude Lunsford. Claude, Speck, and another man had been drinking on July 15th out on the fire escape of the Star Hotel. Star with two R's, by the way.
Oh, Star. Like,
fancy.
Star. Star.
Alphonse's like, why are you making a noise?
Okay, that's enough pigeon trilling.
So the next night, now the 16th, Lunsford sees the sketch in the paper of the killer and recognizes Speck and calls the police. The police log shows the call was made, but the officers didn't respond.
Come on.
Speck then tries to commit suicide, and the front desk clerk phoned the ambulance around midnight. The attending emergency room doctor had also been reading the newspaper on his dinner break and saw a sketch of the killer's face displayed on a front page, which is weird. I assume someone else had to have known who Speck was based on that, but...
They must have found some information and then put his face out.
Yeah. So as he went to sponge the blood off his patient's arm, he saw the same tattoo Corazon had described. It was "Born to Raise Hell," emblazed on his arm. Yeah. Matching the description given in the paper. He had no doubt as to who it was that was on his... William Martin was the lead prosecutor in the case. He and Dennis Brio, they actually co-authored a book in 1993 called The Crime of the Century.
Original. Is it bad that I want to go back and look at that century and see, like, what other crimes happened so close to that one to see how ironic that title is?
I mean, that would be a pretty big one.
Oh, though. Yeah, but, like, I still want to look at the timeline.
Yeah. So Speck was actually found competent to stand trial by a panel of psychiatrists who also did diagnose him as a sociopath.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. The trial ended up being moved from Chicago to nearby Peoria? Yeah,
Peoria. Peoria.
And it began on April 3rd, 1967. For 2 weeks, Speck claimed he was innocent and had no memory of the murders he committed. Boy, isn't that typical.
I know you were drunk, but you're also a sociopath, so I don't trust, like, anything that comes out of your mouth, because, you know, you just murdered shit ton of women.
And this is why I could never be a lawyer.
I really couldn't.
Gerald Getty, it was his public defender, and he did his damnedest to smother any and all evidence against his client. Martin, who was the lead prosecutor, never has forgotten one of the most pivotal moments in this trial. Corazon, bless her, shaking and terrified, steps down from the witness stand and walks towards Speck. With her finger less than 2 inches from his forehead, she states clearly, "This is the man." So throughout the whole trial, who does this sound like, Speck never shed a tear. He sat there without remorse, and Martin stated that he had no redeeming characteristic whatsoever. Speck's utter indifference and cold demeanor fascinated people, which, again, Golden State Killer.
I was about to say, right on the cusp of that one right there.
Very similar. He sat there, staring, the whole trial, And not the kind of, like, staring off into space staring, but just it was described as being still and expressionless and completely non-reactive.
Oh, God, that's so creepy. Which is so creepy. Okay, yeah, so full-on gray rock theory. Like, if you haven't heard about this, it's essentially trying to mask yourself by being as still as possible and as uninteresting as possible. Kind of works in social situations that you're uncomfortable in. Not the best during a lawsuit.
No, especially not when you're on trial for murdering people.
Yeah, it doesn't really work great there.
Yeah.
It just makes you look like an asshole who's extra creepy and not remorseful, so...
Super sociopath.
Do-do-do-do!
The worst superhero. So, with Corazon's testimony and the fingerprints he left all over the scene, the jury went to deliberate. It took them only 49 minutes on
wow.
April... Yeah, really short. And on April 15th, they found him guilty on all charges and requested the death penalty.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just laughing at Alpine over here. We are in a closet. We have chairs set up. We're facing a wall. And he is just weaving underneath the chairs to come stick his face up between our knees.
He's being quite the wiggle worm.
He's a good boy, but ooh, it takes the gravitas out of his situation.
Yeah, it does. Oh, puppy snuggles. Also the panting. I'm sorry for the panting.
Yeah, it's just going to be like, pretend it's a creepy sociopath panting in the background.
Oh, that's so much worse.
I'm sorry. It's all uncomfortable. I have to find comedy.
And puppy cuddles.
And puppy cuddles. The puppy cuddles help for sure. Thank you for the kisses, Alpine. Yes.
Says you're welcome. Let me lick your armpits.
Okay.
Anywho.
49 minutes to deliberate. Holy crap.
Yep. Found him guilty on all counts and requested the death penalty, which was granted. However, he never faced the electric chair, which was the primary thing at the time. The Supreme Court upheld the conviction in 1971, but reversed the death sentence due to the fact that the jurors were opposed to capital that jurors who were opposed to capital punishment were excluded from jury selection.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So instead, he was sentenced to 400 years in prison, which is always ridiculous to me. Like, clearly it's never going to be served, but whatever.
I guess it's like one of the ways they try and really say, no, you're really not getting parole. Yes, we said life. You're not getting it.
Yeah, I guess.
That's my only guess. Like, four very long lifetimes in prison.
Yeah. And he died more recently than I expected.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, he was sentenced to 400 years in prison to be served at the Statesville Correctional Center. And at 49 years in, Richard Speck died of a heart attack in prison on December 5th, 1991.
Wow.
Which is, again, much more recent.
Way too recent.
Yeah. So his body was unclaimed, and he was cremated, and his ashes were scattered near a small town in Illinois. Alpine is wheedle-bugging underneath
oh,
my chair.
Oh my goodness. Ugh. He is hilarious. It's the comfort dog while we tell each other terrible stories.
Yeah. So I have one main more... I have a couple more things about this story, but it is really the end of... I think it's the end of Corazon's. Okay, well, we'll wrap her portion up and then go on to the fucked up bits about Speck.
Oh, God. Okay.
So, rightfully and understandably so, Corazon suffers to this day from nightmares when she wakes up, still believing that he will come back to kill her.
Oh, my God.
Which, again, traumatic event. Totally understandable. She also struggled to believe that he had died and wonders why she was spared. Again, makes sense. Still, she does believe that a higher power was looking out for her.
Oh.
Which... someone had to have been.
Oh my God, Alpine. The Alpine ASMR section can be at the very end of the podcast. We'll just let you pant straight into the microphone for like 5 minutes.
Lay down. Go lay down. Alpine, go. Don't just look at me with bigger eyes. Go lay down. Lay down. I will lock you out of the closet, my darling. You're so lonely.
Lonely.
He's like, Mommy, I won't let people in the house.
Lonely.
I'll bark at them. You'll hear. Okay.
I can't stand you
Go.
Being
Out.
Somewhere without me.
Lay down.
I'm involved. Squirrel.
Up. Lay down.
Good boy.
Okay, so.
And we're back.
We're back. So, closes out Corazon's bit. Lisa was really, she really dodged that bullet. Literally and figuratively, I guess.
I don't think I would maintain sanity through hearing that happen to all of my roommates.
And you dodged it by, like, that much.
Yeah,
no space between the fingers that much.
And the constantly thinking that you're about to, like, he's gonna come back and get you at the same time. Like, just lucky that he missed.
Yeah.
I don't know who, shielded that door, but thank you whoever shielded that door.
Yeah.
I wish you could have done it sooner.
Also good on her for,
rolling under the bed.
Yeah. Oof. No, Corazon was under the bed. Luisa went home.
Wait, I was talking about Corazon.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Okay.
Luisa, that's a whole other thing. Yeah.
So, I did say originally, here's one more super fucked up thing, but it really wasn't just one more.
Oh,
so,
God.
I'm gonna roll it all into one big terrible pile. And
cool, like laundry.
Light it on fire.
Like laundry.
So I have questions on how this all came to be, but while behind bars, it's ridiculous looking at it, and it's gonna sound even more ridiculous vocalizing it.
Oh God, okay.
So just bear with me. So while behind bars, Speck filmed a fake news show.
What?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Keep that disbelief. It's not going to get better.
What?
With his lover, Ronzel, Honeybuns, Larimore. And at one point, while wearing silk panties, he displayed his ample breasts that had been obtained by smuggling, hold that thought, and using female hormones. While he had sex with his lover. During this act, he freely admitted to committing the crime that had landed him behind bars, saying that while he was high, when he did it, he still would have done it while sober. there's a lot to unpack in that.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. For some reason, he had a fake news show when he was in prison.
Somehow, yep.
Why someone brought a camera in there, I don't know.
How they brought a camera, I don't know.
He somehow managed to artificially give himself breasts?
He had gotten female hormones smuggled in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I did say there was a lot to unpack.
Okay. Silk panties, that's the least weird thing here.
Yeah, that really wasn't.
Sex with partner while admitting to crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And partner stayed?
Well, they were both in prison for a reason, Lauren.
Oh, this person was also in prison.
Yeah.
That makes more sense. Yeah. I was thinking it was, one of the, conjugal visits for some reason. That was a whole other question. I know people do it.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand how people do it, but I know people do it. And that's kind of what that was at. He went to prison, then someone fell in love with him, because, that happens shockingly often with murderers.
Yeah. Still don't understand it, but you are correct.
Okay, so it was his lover who was also in prison.
Mm-hmm.
What was their name again?
Ronzel Honeybuns Larimore. Undetermined male or female. Not sure.
Okay, so I'm real... there is no box to put these two in gender-wise. No. They were interesting entities to themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay.
Uh-huh. So to continue adding to the
brain... Oh, God, there's more.
There's more. He had, again, admitted that he did it while high, but he still would have done it when he was sober. Quote, like I always felt, he said to whomever was filming them when they asked how he felt about the killings. Had no feelings. If you're asking if I felt sorry, no. The answer he gave when asked why he did it has become an infamous epitaph. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, epitaph.
Yeah. Quote, it just wasn't their night.
Well, fuck you, dude!
So, if you've ever...
I mean, I know Ronzel Honeybuns is, but maybe not like that. That's not what you deserve. You deserve, many cactuses trying to pry their way in through your skin cells.
Yeah, so if you've ever heard someone say, oh, it's just not my night, that all comes from somewhere.
Oh my God!
Yep.
Using that again.
Yep.
Oh, I did not put those together.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I hate everything about that.
I did say it was infamous.
I hate that. I hate that we are commonly quoting a mass murderer.
You're welcome.
Oh, God.
Okay, so I'm not done yet.
Okay.
So another bonus fuck up that really kind of cemented his personality in my brain, as if it wasn't already. In his book, Mindhunter, Inside the FBI's Elite Serial Crime Unit, John E. Douglas of the FBI Behavioral Science Unit refers to a telling prison incident Speck revealed to him in an interview. In it, Speck tells of how he'd found an injured sparrow that had flown in through one of the broken windows, and he nursed it back to health. When it was healthy enough to stand, he tied a string around its leg and had it perch on its on his shoulder. Which was all very fine and well up until this point.
Oh, but I know this. I know.
No, you don't. It gets so much worse than you think. At one point, a guard, again, post-bird healing, told him that pets weren't allowed. So Richard looks at him, goes, I can't have it. Walks over to a spinning fan and just chucked the bird in. Horrified, rightfully so, the guard goes, I thought you liked that bird. And he just goes, I did. But if I can't have it, no one can.
What the fuck?
Yeah, we gotta leave that silence in.
I mean, I. I mean, we all knew I hated him. Like, we all knew this. Yep. This is not a surprise.
Nope.
Cactuses are too good for him.
That of Agitine?
I want him to be devoured
by Jackal.
By Vagina Dentata.
Oh.
Which is a really horrifying horror movie.
Oh.
I don't, like, recommend watching it, but if you want to know how horrible my sentence was, go watch it.
Don't like it. You're not wrong, but I don't like it.
I mean, it's worse because in my mind, for some reason, I watched that movie for the first time in college, which did not, you know, you should never watch it. It's really horrifying and creepy and just filled with terribleness. But the image base concept, so you don't have to go watch it. Vaginas have teeth. That's the basic concept.
Dentata.
Yeah. So all that I ever imagine is a giant vagina, like, chomping around.
Oh, God, like, if someone just put those, like, chomping teeth.
Only, like, rows and rows like a shark, but only the mouth and, like, labia flapping outside of it.
Just... Wow. Welcome to Wait to Panic. We talk about teeth-filled vaginas.
I have a very creative brain.
Yeah, you do.
It comes up with very horrifying mental images that are appropriate sentences for mass murderers. Can you just imagine a little flock of them eating him? Just
God, like seagulls. It's getting worse the longer I think about it.
Ugh. Okay, I'm good.
Like pelicans.
That helped.
Pelicans, with their big...
Oh, God, so that it can, like, swallow it and then regurgitate and then swallow it down again, just hold it there like a little baby bird inside of its vagina mouth.
Oh, God, vagina mouth. Please never say that word again.
I mean, we're laughing. It's helping.
Yep.
Horrifying.
Okay, so, yep, it killed a bird, and it's... I do have one more little bit about Corazon.
Okay.
And then I'm done with the story. So... Martin, who was he? I think he was one of the prosecutors. He would have been. Really, everyone who saw her in that courtroom that day basically were forever impressed by her.
Mm-hmm.
She actually did continue on to be a nurse. She raised a family. And after spending a year in protective custody, she learned poker and enjoyed playing it with the policemen and guards who were assigned to watch over her for the year. And to date, she still enjoys playing poker in casinos with her husband. Which,
I love that.
I love it. But, like, how do you drop that bomb in a relationship? You're like, yeah, I was almost killed by a mass murderer. Like, a really, really famous recent one.
Yeah, because, like, that was obviously before the relationship began.
Yeah, like, that is a lot to unpack in a relationship.
So she didn't, like, she obviously was able to go back and have her own name, not her witness protection name.
Yep.
I wonder if it was that he, like, she just sent him, like, a copy of the article.
Just slid it across the breakfast table one morning and be like,
hey. Just put the salt on top of it, slide it over.
By the by, I got this in my history.
Like, here's a plate of cookies, you'll need them. Here's a glass of vodka, straight.
You'll need it.
You'll need it.
Here's another one. So again, this is why I'm not entirely sure this series is going to actually be a series, because it's real depressing and real weird.
Yeah, doing the actual research for some of these stories can be tough.
Yeah.
Like, it's better when we're here together talking about it, because, again...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have panting dogs and...
Vagina dentata. Yeah. And a whole bunch of other weird shit. But yeah. The actual research can be tough.
It really is, and it is really a downer on the old brain space.
Mm-hmm.
So, I do have an upcoming story about a haunted car.
What? So,
that's going to be probably next time, because I need a break from this one already.
All I'm going to think about is, like, what was it, Herbie or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
The Beetle.
The Beetle?
The Beetle.
Yeah, this is more Christine. Yeah.
That'll be fun, though.
It will be.
Spookies.
Spookies.
Spoopy. Spoops. We got spoops.
So, yeah, that is probably my one shot of person who survived a serial killer. We'll see.
Maybe if we split it up.
It might have to be split up.
Because the stories are fascinating.
They really are. Like, how the hell he got female hormones in a fake news show.
That doesn't seem like something that should be, like, how would you smuggle that in?
That's what I said. I was like, it is ridiculous to read, let alone vocalize what I've written.
Well, and they, like, it would have to go on for so long for him to actually get the breast. That's not, like, a one-shot-and-done thing.
No. Like, I mean, I assume so.
And how did people not notice? Like, the guards would have seen it.
Maybe they just thought he was gaining weight.
I have a thought.
Is it a bad thought?
It's a bad thought.
You have to share the bad thought.
I have to share the bad thought. What if he lactated? I'm sorry!
I don't like that.
I mean, mental image, like,
yeah,
I mean, oh god.
Why do you go there?
I don't. It's not my fault. My brain just does things. What if he nursed?
No.
Honey,
why?
I'm sorry, it's there and I have to share it.
You're making it worse.
I'm making it so much worse.
Oh. I mean, if that's what you're into, that's what you're into. You do you, boo.
But this would also be while filming it wearing silk panties in a prison.
In a prison.
And like, admitting to murders at this, like, oh my god.
That you didn't feel bad about.
Of course not. He's busy nursing his partner. I don't know. I'm putting so many more things into an already terrible story.
You really are.
I have a very vivid imagination.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
I have another bad thought.
Just let it out.
What if the hormones?
Oh god.
I feel like you know where I'm going.
I do, but you're gonna keep talking, so just go for it.
Reduced to genitalia.
Like, I mean, that actually is the least surprising. That's not where I thought you were going, actually. But...
Oh, okay, well now I need to know where you thought I was. But, like, all I'm imagining is, like, the sex scene and, like, shrunken genitalia with now breasts. So they're, like, little micro-penis symbols. I'm sure that's not how it works and I'm just deeply misinformed, but I can't unsee it.
Oh, boy, I'm glad we're home alone. This would be real weird for anyone else over here.
I mean, that people are gonna hear it.
You're not wrong.
And Blake's used to me.
Yeah.
He knows.
Jordan's not, though.
But wouldn't that be a great thing for him to learn about me?
That would be a thing, you are correct.
If you need some weird shit imagined, call Lauren. Yeah. Writing a weird novel? Call Lauren.
She'll can't make it worse.
Is it a mystery novel?
It is
probably now. Is it a horror novel?
Definitely. Definitely is now.
Do you need a really weird monster in a fantasy novel for someone to kill?
You know,
I maybe got you some covered.
Teeth-filled vaginas.
Freaky sci-fi again. I got you covered.
Yep. Yeah, you do.
Yep. At least you don't have the dreams that are in my brain. They're real messed up.
I mean, I do hear about them, it's but true. Yes.
You do, but no one else has to hear about them.
Unless just like, you want to.
Just like you and Rory.
Yep.
If you want my special Lauren's Dream podcast, click one.
It doesn't exist yet.
I mean, hey, if we want a side quest, I can make that happen. Just
we have,
write them
we
down.
We have to make our original quest thing still.
I don't remember what we were talking. Oh, wait, you had a horrifying thought where you thought I was going.
Nope, I just thought you were going with, like, something with hips and...
Oh, no, I expect that.
Yeah.
I wonder if he got cellulite.
I mean, guys can have cellulite anyway.
Yeah, but I wonder if it was accentuated or something. Anywho, we don't need to think about what happened to Richard Speck's body anymore.
Yeah, I'm good closing the door on that one. And all of our followers left.
Like we learned from Richard Speck, lock the door.
Please, God, lock the door.
Especially on that mental image.
Yep. Oh, God. Yep.
Do we need puns?
I didn't even look any up.
I didn't either. Let's look some... Oh, wait. I had one... Nope, I'm not gonna have it. It would be really poorly told. Let me look some up.
Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana. That's stupid. It makes me giggle. That seems like a good Google search. Dumb jokes that are funny.
Yay! It's my favorite kind.
What is the most terrifying word in nuclear physics? Oops.
Yeah, it's not wrong.
Yep.
Hi.
Hi, Piney Pine. What's the difference between a good joke and a bad joke?
Whoever's telling it?
Timing.
Oh.
The original one was, what's the difference between a good joke and a bad joke? Timing.
I don't get it.
You answered the question before the other person.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see.
Why do you smear peanut butter on the road? It's dumb.
Something with nuts?
To go with the traffic jam.
Oh my god. I was thinking like lug nuts on a car. Yeah, a traffic jam. Man, that would be really gross tasting jam.
It would be.
I'd just be like putting Swiss chard into a jelly.
What's Harry Potter's favorite method of getting down a hill?
Wow, I'm really bad at guessing things right now. Like,
walking. JK, rolling.
Oh my god. I was gonna be like, sweeping? He's got a broom. I know so much more about Harry Potter than that suggests.
Right. What do you call a bear with no teeth, besides Alpine's moistness?
It's a gummy bear. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Outro?
Outro.
Outro. I kind of hope you leave all this in, just our random... brain vomits.
I'll probably take out the extra space, but otherwise, yes.
Yeah. So, I will do the outro. Are we changing it all?
Nah.
Okay. So, that is all for this week. Thanks for listening, and check back, I would say next Sunday, but I will edit that.
On another Sunday, to be determined.
For our next episode. If you need some extra spookums, you can check out our mini stories at waittopanic.com. And as always, if you have a story to share, send us an email at waittopanicpodcast@gmail.com. Make good choices, and remember,
wait to panic. Ooh, it's Woo! In person!
So much easier in person.
We didn't have to do it three times.
Ah, good times.
Yeah.